Hello and welcome to the Flight Free podcast, the place for uplifting stories, grounded adventures, and enlightening reasons why not to fly. For the next 25 minutes, we hope to inspire, inform, and entertain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hello, I'm Kirsty.
I'm Rachel, and welcome to our brand new podcast series for 2021.
What better way to start the new year than giving you some inspiration for signing the Flight Free 2021 pledge?
This time last year, we were asking if taking part in Flight Free 2020 could be your New Year's resolution. None of us knew what would happen next. As we now know, 2020 was the year that most of us would stay grounded, but not through our own choice. It was a very difficult year for many, and we can totally understand that some people will feel very keen to book their own flights and get away after the year we've just had.
But we're still asking people if they can pledge to have a flight-free year, and here's why. The climate crisis hasn't gone away, and taking flights can quickly put your carbon footprint above sustainable levels.
While all of our choices were restricted in 2020, choosing not to fly can be really positive for us as well as for the environment. In this episode, we're going to hear from several people from all over the UK and Ireland about why they've chosen to go flight free for 2021.
We really hope you're inspired to join them. Could your New Year's resolution be to take the Flight Free 2021 pledge?
Here are our contributors this month.
My name is Lenny. I live in Cardiff.
So my name's Joe. I grew up in Aberdeen and lived there all my life until I came to Edinburgh for university.
My name's Gopi Walker. I am from a council estate in Newcastle, and I moved about a bit, but I now live in Oxford.
Okay, well, my name is Dominic Donnelly. I've lived most of my life in Ireland.
Yeah, so I'm Lizzie, was living in London until lockdown happened this year, and I'm now currently in the northwest in Cheshire.
Lizzie works for AEF, the Aviation Environment Federation, and last flew in 2019. I asked her what inspired her to sign the pledge.
I started working at AEF and had a vague idea about aviation and the fact that it probably wasn't great for the planet. And then obviously when I started working there, I became aware of just how bad it was, and that in fact it's pretty much one of the worst things that you can do. But I think for me it was it just took a while to kind of get my head around that. I had this notion, I guess, of always that I would travel everywhere. I was kind of the generation of like, right, where's my scratch map and how many countries can I scratch off the map? I think for me it was not just signing up to a flight free year, but actually just accepting a life change, and that flying, if it is part of it, is going to have to be a lot less than I had envisaged when I thought that I was going to fly and travel the world. And I think coming to terms with that, I was like, okay, yes, I can do this. And I think I've changed my idea of sort of travel and what I want. If we don't demand different things, then what's going to change? Like, governments want to please the public and companies want to give what, you know, consumers want. And I think, yeah, I think you've got to kind of show that you want something different.
Lenny last flew in 2019. I asked him how he feels about flying.
I have taken the pledge for 2021 because I'm very confident that I'm not going to fly at all for work, and I'm absolutely not going to fly for leisure. I'd like to say ever again. I'd like to say that's it. That part of my life is over. But in terms of work, there's absolutely no way I'm afraid I can guarantee that I won't have to get on a flight. But I will always challenge my employers if there is an alternative way of travelling.
This year, we've included the option to pledge to take no leisure flights because we understand that for some people, like Lenny, they are required to fly for work. Of course, we hope that people will pledge to be completely flight-free in 2021, especially because making a commitment like this can have an influence on your employer too. Talking to them about the pledge and aviation in general might even encourage them to have a more climate-conscious travel policy.
Flight free fact.
Most flights are taken for leisure. Business flights make up a relatively small percentage of the total flights taken each year. In 2019, only 10% of UK flights abroad were work-related, whereas 63% were for holidays. However, for Lenny, working as a musician, that can present a challenge.
Yes, well, you see, touring and travelling around has always been a very important part of the music industry. And some orchestras rely very heavily on international touring for their income. And then there's also domestic touring. And there has been a lot of conversation in the industry about this. There was a recent Association of British Orchestras conference. They talked about sustainability. And a lot of orchestras have decided that, for instance, if they're going to Europe, they're going to do it by train. I would like to get that sort of written down as a in the constitution, as it were, of the orchestra, so that we always do go by train if we're going to France or Germany or even Spain and Italy. I mean, it's very possible.
It's really interesting hearing these responses, isn't it, Kirsty? And I feel like I can really relate to both Lizzie and Lenny. I definitely grew up feeling like I wanted to travel the world and getting that, you know, the sense of the world is my oyster almost, which is obviously a ridiculously privileged view to have. And the rise of cheap flights I thought was wonderful sort of years ago. And so I can really see where Lizzie is coming from and also really value her honesty about that. And in terms of Lenny, until recently, I worked in documentaries, which does require quite a lot of travelling quite often. And it's very difficult, or I found it difficult to, you know, I've done a couple of trips where I've requested to take the train and things. But if it's international travel, it's very difficult to kind of make any kind of stand on that. And so, yeah, I think that Lenny's very inspiring.
Jo lives in Edinburgh and hasn't flown for 3 years.
In the summer, I flew over to Peru with a couple of friends. And then we took a few internal flights while we were there, as well as flying back. And I think there was just something about all of the flying when we were there that it just made me think about it in a completely different way from before, and made me realise how unsustainable it was. So yeah, as soon as we got back, I just thought, I just don't want to do that again.
Lots of people travel to Peru and other places in South America to experience the stunning landscapes and rich historical sites, such as Machu Picchu. But did you know?
Flight free fact.
Flying across the Atlantic Ocean to reach Peru will cause more carbon emissions per passenger in that one journey than some residents of Peru will in an entire year.
Yeah, I think I kind of always struggle with the thing of individual action versus sort of corporate and like kind of bottom up and top down approaches. But I do think that we have consumer power, and that if we can say, actually, we prefer taking trains and actually we don't want to fly. I mean, it's one of the single biggest impacts that a human can have in one action. And I think that it's such an easy thing to change. And I think that it also helps to change your whole lifestyle and to kind of move towards a much slower way of life. And recognizing that these places are really far away and that all of the places in between are worth kind of acknowledging, rather than just flying from one place to somewhere else that's halfway around the world.
Gopi signed the pledge for 2020.
Up until last year, I'd have put myself in the top 10% of flyers in the UK. I'd be doing at least 3 return trips, either through work or personally, every single year. So this isn't something that would easily have fitted into my lifestyle. I mean, do I miss some of the things that flying allow me to do? Yep. Do I understand that there are places and people that I'm potentially never going to see again? Yeah. But ultimately, am I happy to sacrifice these things if it means that I'm part of a solution rather than part of the problem? I would also say yes.
How do you think the pledge affected your life last year?
I would say the personal bit's a lot harder than the work bit, because the biggest thing I miss about flying is exercising in the sun. In my spare time, I've been doing triathlon for 15 years. Not continuously, by the way. And I'm also a qualified British triathlon coach. So I do take it quite seriously. And sport is a big part of my my life. So every year, maybe once or twice a year, I'd fly to somewhere like the south of Spain, Mallorca, Lanzarote, with my bike, my runners, my goggles, you know, and spend a lot of time exercising out there. Since the pledge, I've been triathloning around the UK, and I go to places like Wales and the Lake District more and more. Admittedly, our roads aren't great, right? And the UK, yes, is a bit colder. But I can attest that the UK mountains and lakes are as beautiful as they are anywhere else in the world. There are some stunning parts of the UK that I was not aware of up until the last couple of years, which I feel is a real shame. It took me this long to find it out.
Dominic stopped flying 20 years ago.
I came across some numbers somewhere, I've no idea where, but one thing that sticks in my head always is, as a rough sort of back of the envelope calculation, per passenger, one flight transatlantic from, say, Europe to the States and back again, is the equivalent of running a normal family, that per passenger now, not for the whole flight, but per passenger, that's the equivalent of running a normal family car for a year.
Dominic is a teacher and has been involved with the Green Party in Ireland.
One individual's action empowers other people to act. I would know now, really, that I have friends, for example, who perhaps haven't quite gone the full commitment to say they'll never fly again, but they're more or less there, do you know? And perhaps if they hadn't known me, they wouldn't have thought about it. My neighbour, who's a pilot, he looks at me aghast. He thinks I'm a freak. He thinks I'm a strange person. But in the couple of conversations I've had, it has really made him think.
Flight free fact.
Research from the UK shows that if you know someone who has stopped flying, you are more likely to reduce your own flights or at least have a basic awareness of the climate impact of those flights. We all have our own ripple effect. We humans tend to act like those around us. And the advantage of this is that once we start to adjust our own behaviour, change can happen fast.
Well, I now have a son who lives in Zurich in Switzerland. And I've been over to Switzerland a number of times, but I do so by boat and train. Just the environmental impacts of flying are, they're largely hidden to most people. They don't realise that even in the modern context of being a modern human being, flying is still really quite an extraordinary thing to do. And we, in this part of the world, have taken it as a very, very normal thing to do. And I think the job in the next number of years is to denormalise flying.
So interesting hearing all of these perspectives. And I really found Dominic's interview interesting. And again, he was talking about how it was so normal growing up with cheap flights and actually that has become normalised. You know, it's so normal to go on a city break for a weekend, which is bonkers, really, when you think about it. And actually, still only 10% of the global population have access to flights, and only half of the UK population regularly fly. So it's not as normal as you think it is. But in, you know, if you're in a flying group, then it can be a very regular affair. Yes. So consumer power was also discussed earlier, and really interesting that we do have power to change the system. It often feels as an individual that we're powerless against sort of money and government and the economy and the way that the economy works. But things respond to demand. These things respond to demand. And actually, if we do our bit on an individual level, hopefully that will trickle down to a kind of policy, economic and governmental level.
I agree with that, actually. Lizzie mentioned a really good point in her interview about the sense of power and how demanding change at the same time as changing your own behaviour really gives back this sense of power, which I think is really easy and totally understandable to feel powerless with the environmental predicament that we're all in. But making these choices and, for example, taking the pledge is a really powerful choice. I think one of the the biggest things that all of the interviews have made me realise and become more aware of is that going on holiday doesn't have to be a place that's miles and miles away from where you live. There's so many national parks, there's so many beaches, there's so many really stunning places, and it's really a great opportunity in taking the pledge to go out there, discover them, be in nature, take time to go slowly and reconnect with the world that we're trying to protect.
And then we've heard Gopi's discovery of the beauty in Britain, which is so lovely to hear him talk about the Lake District and how actually, you know, for him, that has been those experiences have been some of the most beautiful that he has ever experienced, despite having traveled really very widely. It makes me want to hop on a bike and go there now. So, Kirsty, have you had any New Year's resolutions in the past?
I haven't actually made any New Year's resolutions in the past, but the Flight Free Pledge for 2021 is the first resolution I have made. How about you?
What an amazing first New Year's resolution. So I have made some classic New Year's resolutions in the past, you know, exercise, eat healthily, those sorts of things. But this is a great one because it feels like genuinely the most wholesome thing I've ever done from a New Year's resolution point of view.
That's great. It feels the same for me. It feels like, as you said, it's a thing that I'm doing which isn't focused on improving myself. It's more something done with a larger sense of commitment and improvement, you know, sort of, yeah, for the world instead.
Yeah, definitely. And to do it in a positive way, it's a resolution that I'm committed to and feels very purposeful. Yeah, no, nothing better.
And now, to finish off, we're going to hear some flight-free tips from our interviewees.
I would say that don't feel like you're losing out by signing up to the pledge. I think we can often think that because you're not flying, it means that you can't travel. But flying is just one way of travelling. And obviously, there are way less carbon-intensive ways to travel, like the Eurostar. And yeah, so I think actually when you kind of look at it from a positive angle, which it is, then there's so many exciting ways of traveling and still seeing places. And also we're so lucky being so close to Europe and having France on the doorstep and then Spain and all easily travelable on train. So yeah, don't feel limited, feel excited by how you can do it and where you can go.
The top tip for me is see part of the travel of any journey as an adventure. So normally holidays are about getting from A to B and then the holiday starts when you get to B, right? Now, if you change your mindset that the holiday starts when you leave A, you'll love 2021.
Get used to a lack of sleep. That's maybe not a very positive one. Maybe just download loads of podcasts and things. That's normally my way of getting through really long bus and train journeys. I find that I just get bored really quickly. So yeah, I try and always take loads of books and snacks and download loads of music and podcasts and things to try and keep myself occupied. And then that way I keep enjoying the journey and learn loads of really cool things on it rather than seeing it as a frustration or something to try and get over as quickly as possible.
I think stick to your convictions. Changing the way that you live can at first seem daunting, but if you make small changes rather than huge changes at once, if you make small changes bit by bit, then actually it becomes very doable.
Just keep having the conversations. I think that's the most crucial thing. If you need those solidarity conversations with your fellow pledgers, you know, have mechanisms for that. At appropriate times, bring it into the conversation, and you shift thinking. You make people think. You can make people change how they think about things.
Destination of the month.
Forget about long distance flights and long haul voyages. We're introducing you to the idea of our best places to visit in the UK, and this month, it being January, where could be more unusual to visit than the seaside? So we've decided to pick two of our favourite seaside destinations and talk about them with you here. Rachel, what is your favourite seaside destination?
So I have extremely fond memories and still go there now of a beach in Wales, in South Wales, called Dunraven Bay, which is a beautiful little inlet with a ruined castle. I think it's a castle or sort of some sort of manor house, and like incredible walks and headland, and then a kind of, you can do rock pooling. There is a little bit of sand when the tide comes out. Admittedly, it's not the classic like white sand beach for sure, but it's just so stunning. And I went, my parents live in Cardiff, and so it was our beach to go to as a family. And now I'm living in Bristol, it's, you know, within reach, and so I now take my kids there. So it's a very, very special place. I love it. So if anyone, I mean, I feel like I shouldn't be telling the world about it because it's just so great that I don't want millions of people going, but it is a lovely, lovely place to visit, Dunraven Bay in South Wales.
Lovely. I think when I am able to move more freely again after the lockdown, I will be over there. But not, I won't tell loads of people. I'll keep it secret. My beach destination is Scarborough Beach. I used to live in Sheffield, in South Yorkshire, and I went to Scarborough on my own when I turned 25 or 26, I think, because I'd seen nice pictures of it online. And I went there, and I was born in February, so it was grey, overcast, like driving rain, and maybe one person walking the dog on the beach. But it was just really lovely colours, loads of different shades of grey, which is really beautiful in its own way, really still sort of pearly waters, and a really great place to reflect. I think something it's worth remembering is that the UK is an island, which we know, but it means that you are never more than, is it 70 miles from the beach?
Yeah, it's an amazing fact. Apparently, in the UK, you're never more than 70 miles away from a beach, which is just so wonderful. Aren't we lucky to be surrounded by coastline? So go out and enjoy all the beaches in your area in January.
Now we're going to recommend to you another podcast. The recommendation we're going to do for this month is a podcast called Green Dreamer. That's G-R-E-E-N Dreamer, D-R-E-A-M-E-R. And it is a really fascinating podcast which explores all aspects of sustainable living, philosophy, approaches to the world, spirituality, things like that. It's really inspiring. It helped me to find psychological coping mechanisms to deal with the environmental predicament that we're in. It talks about practical stuff like using less plastic, how to consume less energy, and also really deep philosophical things to do with humanity and history. So our recommendation for this month is Green Dreamer. If you search that on your preferred search engine, Green Dreamer podcast, you should be able to find it.
So that brings us to the end of this Flight Free podcast. We hope you've been inspired to be flight free in 2021, and you can sign the pledge on our website, flightfree.co.uk. Thank you to Dom, Lenny, Joe, Gopi and Lizzie, and join us next month for our episode dedicated to the question, can we fly carbon neutral?
Thank you for your company at this Flight Free podcast episode. We hope you enjoyed the journey. You can find out more about the campaign at our website, flightfree.co.uk, or find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Flight Free UK. Until next time, stay grounded.